All right. I'm Cindy O'Neill Dady, the founder and CEO of Exceptional Connections Networking, as well as our newly launched educational series for Networking Mastery. Today is a beautiful Friday, March 17th, 2017. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone on the call. as well as those of you listening to this recording. So I am going to take a moment to make sure we are in mute mode. And here. Okay, I'm sorry, guys. Something is not working here today. So I'm just going to keep going forward. So everybody there? Can I get some feedback to know that everybody's on the line?
Yeah, did you want us to mute our phones manually?
Why don't we have you do that? If everybody can mute their phones manually, that would be awesome. So if you wouldn't mind doing that, and we'll go ahead and get started. So we're super excited that Jeff Wagner was a featured guest speaker at our oversold-out Tuesday, March 14th Exceptional Connections Luncheon. And so at this dynamic event, he spoke about the five elements in his Advent 5 process, which I never get tired of hearing about. It's just amazing. Really appreciate the information he provides in his book. So it's my pleasure and great honor to introduce Jeff Wagner as the presenter of our bonus call today that's being offered to our Exceptional Connections networking community and beyond. So Jeff, I'll go ahead and give a brief introduction and then turn things over to Jeff to be able to share with you today.
Yeah.
So Jeff is an author, speaker, personal and professional coach. He's enjoyed success in facilitating change for the better with businesses and individuals. Jeff has helped guide countless individuals along their path for discovering their desire, as well as companies to clarify their vision. His life lessons and wisdom have been developed into an engaging and transformative experience that will help you discover the passion that drives you deep within yourself and your business, plus a process to sustain this discovery as you discover the unseen. Jeff's influences are many: Fortune 500 corporate leaders and the steady and discipline of many personal growth leaders, teachers, and mentors throughout the years. He also attributes a large part of his personal growth to his experience working side-by-side with Zig Ziglar, whose teachings have positively impacted millions over the last 30 years. So Jeff has generously agreed to share with us for about 20 to 30 minutes today about awareness, ownership, and execution tools for authentic sustainment. So what Jeff is going to do, the plan is that he's going to open up the call for Q&A after his sharing, and the plan is we'll be ending by 1 o'clock this afternoon, but be sure to stay on the line to the very end, even if you're listening to the replay. Jeff is going to offer you an opportunity to reserve a seat as have this upcoming skill shot that we're offering through Exceptional Connections on May 23rd. So without further ado.
Wait, real quick. Also, please hit *6 on your phone to mute and unmute, and it will say muted or manually mute your phone so we don't have the background noise. We're hearing a lot of background noise right now.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate that. And I will work on the muting process on this side as well. But Jeff, without further ado, I would like to turn the call over to you and thank you so much for making time not only to come to Seattle and share with our oversold-out community, but also today. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. You know, it was my pleasure. you know, I think that's the second time I've spoken to your group, and you could just feel the love in the room, and who wouldn't want to speak in front of a group like that? So thank you for inviting me, and thank you for all of you that came out. I felt like we had a good time. I certainly hope everyone did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Jeff.
Okay. So I'll just get right into it, if you guys don't mind, again, because I'd like to share a lot of information in 20, 30 minutes. So what reason I picked awareness, ownership, and execution is because, really, they're all processes that you have to go through. And I think I mentioned this earlier, but, you know, processes are really, really important. You know, and the thing about a process, it, can be very effective or it can be very damaging. It depends on how you, you know, put the process together. I mean, whether you realize it or not, we're always doing processes. You know, you get up in the morning, you got a kind of a process or routine you go through before you go to work. And if we don't do it, you know, don't do it the way we want or the way that's in line with our desire, like I discussed on Tuesday, we may end up with a different result. So I felt like it'd be important to cover those. To me, those are processes, the process of awareness, ownership, and execution. And what I'd like to start with is the process of awareness. And a lot of times, you know, awareness is usually about, you know, self-awareness, which I think is real important, which we'll talk about in a minute. But also you need to also be aware of your surroundings and where you're at. And, you know, you hear it all the time about people saying, you know, we need to live in the now. And I believe that as well. And sometimes we're not aware of the now because we're so busy worrying about the future or thinking about the past or thinking about all the things that we're going to have to do in the next, you know, 24 hours. And we forget to really focus on that. And the process has taken over so much that we really forget about how important the now is, because everything that you do in the now actually will determine what your future is. You know, I spoke to college kids at a university, and it was funny because someone kept asking that, well, you know, I'm in the now, but this isn't where I want to be. I said, so what are you doing in the now? And he says, well, you know, I'm flipping hamburgers at, you know, a local fast food joint. And I said, so what are you doing when you're flipping the hamburgers? So he's just thinking about why he doesn't want to be there, right? So the point is that that's exactly what you're going to get in the future. If you sit around and think about, this isn't where I want to be at, you know, you're never going to move forward because you're always going to stay in the same spot. So the thing was that he was in the now, but he was in the now in the wrong place. And that's why I think it's important for the awareness. So you have to be aware of, you know, what you're saying to yourself, what you're saying to others, or actually, you know, listening to the things you say and how you say them. And I think the easiest part would be, and I'll say it this way, it's simple, but none of this is really easy, right? Because we live in such a fast-paced society with a ton of information, which, by the way, all this information that's thrown at us, we end up having a collective knowledge of this stuff. And the real issue that I've seen, it's really coming through execution. So if you're in the now and you're aware of what's going on in your surroundings, you need to think about these things. And I actually mentioned this in the book, and I can't remember what page it's on, it's really irrelevant, but self-awareness, you need to sort through what's going on in your life. And the things that are listed in the book is like your interest, your personality, your skills, your ambition, your abilities, your values, your beliefs, your lifestyle. You need to really be looking at those things and look at your surroundings. Because a lot of times our environment that we're in, just like the college kid at the working in the burger joint, you know, he was aware of his surroundings, but it really wasn't where he wanted to be. So it's just like measuring, right? You have to know where you're starting from before you can actually change it. So those kind of things that I just listed are things that you have, and most of the times we don't think about, again, because we're so busy doing other things. So this is probably the hard part about all that, is that you have to get quiet and really think about, really, you know, if someone were to ask you, hey, what are your values? I mean, if you could spit them out, that would be wonderful and really mean them. But it's really something you have to dig deep on. And actually, Cindy had mentioned the skill shop, and this is actually a pre-work that we use a lot of times before you even come to the skill shop, is have you go through these processes, because you need to really think about it, and it needs to come from your heart. You know, and that, like I talked on Tuesday, you know, it's being authentic. And the authenticness comes from that deep desire down inside you. Well, I would say that make any sense, but everybody's on mute, so I guess I'll just keep moving forward. So the next one is about ownership. And as some of you that were there on Tuesday, you know, we talked about the Advent 5 process, and the one was, you know, your fire, the element of fire, and your desire, right? And that is so important about knowing what that desire is. and you know, some of the self-assessment will help you define that as well. And like I said, probably 80% of the people that I've coached usually really don't know what their true desire is, and those things will help you get to that. And this is how you own that, is because if you really feel that ownership of really that thing, that purpose in your life, if you will, you know, how important it will be to you, and you own it. And to give you an example, this is also from the book, but it's called about alignment. It's like, you know, what's your intention for, you know, your desire and the processes that you picked that you're going through. You know, do you get a visual? If you close your eyes, this is really called like, we call this like thinking from the end. If you close your eyes and actually see, you know, the end result of where you want to be, and make sure that what you're doing today is in alignment. And I'll go back to the college kid in the burger joint. If your intention is to be in the burger joint and your visual is that you still see yourself in the burger joint, then you're probably in the right place. But, you know, obviously we need to start where we are and we need to move forward. So what's your intention? What is your intention for what you want to do with your desire? And then get a visual of that. And the reason I say that, it's kind of like an example of, like if you're going to build a house, you know, you get a plan. Someone draws out a plan how you're going to do it. Then you have to go out and buy, you know, so many nails and so many boards and so many windows to fill that house. So this is really the visual. The visual will help you make sure that you're buying the right nails. And the visual will help you make sure that you're in line with that true, authentic desire that you have. And then probably real important is really about feelings, is the next part of alignment, is how you're feeling. How does it make you feel when you're in alignment? You know, I think about stuff a lot of times when I'm doing things, and sometimes, and I'm sure you all have this, it's, you know, you can call it an intuition, but it doesn't feel right. Like something doesn't feel right, or it just doesn't feel like this is the right thing. And this is where you could go back and say, you know, how does this fit my values, my abilities, my, you know, ambitions, my skills? And maybe these things don't fit in there. And this will give you an opportunity to look at that. And it goes back to awareness. So you have to be aware of what's going on so you can, when you feel that feeling, that you can either change it or enhance it and moving forward. And then, of course, then you talk about your actions. So what things am I doing that's in alignment with that? And probably the best example of that is, you know, on Tuesday I talked about how corporations have visions and we have desires, right? And in the corporate world, when I go to work and flip on the light on Monday when I walk into my office, you know, what are my actions? Are all the actions that I'm going to conduct throughout the day, are they in line with the vision of the company? And it would be the same within, you know, your guys' company, also within yourself. Are the things that I'm doing, is this fitting the desire that I'm trying to accomplish? And then the commitment. The commitment is another alignment. And we talked a little bit about on that Tuesday, but it's like you're willing to do anything to make that happen. And a lot of times some things have to sacrifice. Certainly humility is a big part of that, right? When I had mentioned Colonel Sanders of Kentucky Fried Chicken took 1,500 no's before he got a yes, I mean, that was a commitment. He was committed to that, and he felt like everything he was doing was right on line. Okay, so let's move on to, well, no, I tell you what, let me give you one more example of the process mapping. So this alignment that I give you to, you know, your intention, your visual, your feelings, your actions, and then your commitment. And this all goes back to ownership. And to give you an example in the corporate world, when we have a process within the business, you know, you have an entire business that makes something or sells something, and we look at a specific arena like maybe manufacturing. So they were manufacturing something. We would sit down with the people from, you know, from the shop floor all the way up to management. We put them all in the same room, and we go through a process mapping, and we put brown paper on all the walls, and we put little Post-its up. And if some of you have been through that, you're probably familiar with that. And we go through, and we map out the current process, and then we map out, you know, what the process they would prefer, which goes back to your awareness. So now we're aware that we have, you know, things that aren't really in line with what we're trying to accomplish in the vision in the company, or there's a lot of waste, or, you know, non-value-added activity. So we try to remove that, which we'd want to do in our own lives as well. But the key to the process map is when we go to and we rebuild what I call the to-be state. That doesn't mean that it can't happen like the next day, but it may take some, you know, effort to get to, but it's certainly shorter than a 3-month span, that they have the opportunity to you know, rebuild that process, and the people that do the work are rebuilding the process, and that is the key to the ownership. And this is something that we do in the skill shop too, is we go through a process mapping, you know, process, if you will, to go through that and help you align and have a process that you can follow. And it, I think it's certainly been, it's been the times that I've used it in my life, obviously, and in the business world. All the businesses I ever ran, we had a process map. If we didn't have a process map, we knew that we had a problem, so we would go do that. And I think it's the same, I'm sure, in your guys' business as well. You know, especially in small business, you know, because you can get distracted a lot easier. But if you had a process map that you could, you know, refer to in your life to keep moving forward. And a lot of times, in most of the companies that we go to, they, like the general foreman or the supervisor, the, you know, the leader, if you will, of that group, will have that process map in his office. So this, I'm just going to give you an idea. That's how important the alignment is. And then this is probably the, you know, we talked on Tuesday about, you know, one of my favorites is the wind. And the wind, if you remember, was a part about adversity, handling adversity and, you know, welcoming the punch, or, you know, want to talk about problems and mistakes because we have a process that we can fix them, which, you know, we call a mistake-proofing process. You know, we figure out what the root cause is, we fix it, and it doesn't come back. But I think that's really one of the key elements to the Advent 5 process. But the execution is so critical because a lot of times execution takes a lot more effort, right? It's like being something sustainable. And we need to look at, in the execution side, and this is where a lot of companies fall short. They really never know how to execute. And if you had the processes in place and if you had self-awareness and you had the ownership, it would be a lot easier to execute. And what's really critical is if you have a company with 30,000 employees, you've got a company that's executing 30,000 employees executing in the same direction. You just think how powerful that would be. And it can be the powerful if you have 10 people in your organization, if you had everybody going on the same path. So you need to look at what's, you know, what's needed, what kind of actions that we need to do to execute this process. And this is kind of like we talked about the strategic planning part. You know, these are the things that we need to implement. And I guess the biggest thing to remember about execution, I think, as I think about it, most companies will fail and most people will fail just in that word that I mentioned. They fail, and it's not a failure. You know, all the things that you do aren't a failure. They're just the result of the process that you have. So, if again, this is why the steps before it, the awareness and ownership, are so important. So if you're getting a result that you don't want, you can go back to your process, right? Think about going to your wall with your process map, like I was saying about the general foreman and supervisors. They can look at that process map and say, what part of this process isn't working, because our result, we're not getting what we want. So you change this one, you know, change step number three or step number two. And then also you can always tie it back to your awareness. When we, as I mentioned earlier about self-awareness, so you look at the self-awareness, you know, what's the skills, what's my, you know, abilities, what are my values and beliefs. And a lot of times we find that the values and beliefs weren't really what you really thought they were, because the values and beliefs you have will get a different result from what you're trying to do. And then they, again, that's why this is so important that these all have alignment and match up. But I guess the important thing to think about is that nothing really is a failure. It's just a result of a process that didn't get you the result you wanted. And this is another thing I think, you know, a lot of companies, a lot of people that I coach too, they're so close to the answer to what they're trying to accomplish. And they just can't make, because of the processes that they're going through, they can't get the right result, and they just give up and they never finish. And I think that's why a lot of businesses fail, because they don't look and think about that there's always a possibility for things to work around, right? There's always a way. There's always a way to get through that. And it kind of ties back to, you know, in the Advent 5 elements that I mentioned, you know, was water. You know, water flows, and if there's a rock, it figures out a way around it. So it's all about flow. It's all about flow, and never give up on your fundamental, authentic desire that you have, or the vision you have for your company. So I think that's all I wanted to cover. And I hope you guys have some questions And I think we'll just open it up for questions, if that's okay.
Cindy, I think you're muted if you're speaking right now. This is Dawn. Jeff, are you still there? Jeff, can you hear me?
Can anybody hear
Jeff,
me?
Are you there?
Yes,
Cindy,
here.
Can you hear us?
Okay, yes. I'm unmuting everybody manually because it wouldn't let me unmute everybody at once. So I'm just trying to unmute people. So, Jeff, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Oh, my goodness. Technical difficulties are lovely. So I'm just trying to mute two more people. I can't unmute, but the line should be open, Jeff. So if anybody has any questions, feel free to jump in or unmute.
Yeah, I have a question.
Phone by doing star six.
I have a question for you, Jeff. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, it's Dawn. What example could you give of a process map for the small business owner?
Well, you know, the actual process, if you really sit back, and this is really about awareness. Awareness is really being the observer of something, right? So if you step back and just kind of observe your business and say, what is it that we do? And most businesses, you know, have, you know, something creative that you started your business with that you're passionate about. So you either make something or you provide a service and then you sell it. And then after you sell it, it's the servicing and support that, you know, gets you return business and stuff. And that really, that fundamental, I realize that sounds simplistic, but that fundamental model is the same for a 30,000 employee company as it is to five people. And you know, a lot of times with the smaller ones, we don't really take the time to go and do the process map like I'd mentioned earlier. And I think if you would do that, you would definitely propel, if your vision is to grow your business, then you will definitely grow your business if you have a process like that. Because whether you're small or large, you know, having a standardized process that you can measure, and let's face it, everything that we measure drives a behavior, right? Whatever we measure drives a behavior in our business and in our actions, you know, individually. And if we have it standardized, then you can measure it and change as needed.
All right, perfect. And it's funny you say that, because as you're talking about it, here we have our CPR business we've run for 25 years, and there are specific processes in place. We run our invoices on Friday. We do our rebills on Wednesdays. We make our calls on Tuesdays and Thursdays between 9 and 11 and 1 and 4. And here I've branched off and started doing the successful training solutions, and I find myself kind of reacting to my day rather than following processes like I did in implementing and following with CPR Training Center. So there might be other business owners out there having that same struggle. Do you have any suggestions for that?
Well, yeah. Well, you know, you said it right there. I don't know if you heard me giggle, but I didn't mean to giggle. But, you know, the things
Thanks
that we
a
do,
lot.
You know, the things we do in our life, you know, you always want to think about, am I reacting or am I responding? And I think a key to that, if you find yourself reacting to something, then you need to, again, it sounds simple, but it's difficult, to step back and be the observer and say, why am I reacting to this particular situation? Or even, you know, individually, you know, like someone cuts you off in traffic, why am I reacting? Am I going to, you know, get upset and honk the horn? Or am I going to respond by saying, well, you know, obviously, maybe they didn't see me, or, you know, or whatever. So, you know, there's two different paths you're going to take. And one, if you're reacting, you're going to be in this mode of, you know, like a chicken with your head cut off kind of thing. You're always running in circles. But if you can respond to something which needs standardization so you can respond to it, then you can make a better decision on what you need to do about fixing it.
Okay.
Any other questions? I know I threw a lot of stuff at you guys, but hopefully you're all coming to the workshop and we can we'll go through these things, and you know it'll help you, I'm sure.
Are you going to go into depth with how people can establish some processes in the workshop?
Yep. Yes, we will.
So, Jeff, this is Cindy. I just want to jump in and say I really like the idea of the process map and you know, how you cover the different elements and how those elements relate to business and to our lives. And I love the different analogies with, like, water and the, you know, water going around the rock and the way the elements behave is really a good way to get a handle on and be able to relate it to our own life in different situations. I think it's a brilliant analogy.
Well, you know, this is the thing, and actually it was, I think, the quote that I put on the social media today. It's about separation, right? If you're, anytime that you're separating yourself from your authentic self or your desire, your vision, you're just going to cause frustration and chaos, you know. So anytime you have the process in place and you're thinking about what you're trying to accomplish, you know, again, you got something that you got a vision and you're standardizing that vision about with a process and how you're going to flow through it. And, you know, one thing it does too, it takes the personality out of it. A process, that's one thing I love about processes, it takes the personality out. It's not Joe and Mary and Tom not really working well. It's, you know, hey, step number three just isn't really working out, so let's go look at step number three and look at the elements in step number three and try to fix whatever that is. And to a small business, it'd be like Don's, your CPR business, you would look at, hey, you know, the invoicing thing isn't working out, so it's not, oh, I can't believe, you know, whoever does your invoicing, I can't believe that person just can't get this right. Well, let's go look at invoicing. What's the process flow, how you're doing that, right? And you may be having a flow where you're hitting a rock and the water's not going around it because you don't have a system in place to let that happen. So therefore, it's not that person's problem as much as it is the process problem. And we find a lot that's, you know, most of the time that's usually what it is. It's a process problem or an education problem.
So true.
The process would be something's wrong with the process, and then the if it's a person problem, then either they're not getting it, so they need to be retrained or educated, or they might not be in the right position. Is that what you're saying, Jeff?
Yeah, because, you know, most of the time, and I say most of the time because there are, you know, some people that don't really come to work to do the right thing, but I believe everybody comes to work to try to do the right thing. And, you know, it's so important for us as leaders to make sure that we have a clear vision to make sure they understand what we're trying to accomplish. In the process map and the vision, you know, you take your vision first and then you figure out how you're going to get it to your employees, how you're going to communicate that. And I think the important part, we talked about ownership today, right? The important part of how that the people in your organization take the ownership of it is that they got to be part of that process. Just like I mentioned, we take the people from the shop floor to the management. They all own that new process that we could walk away with. You know, so there's some ownership in that, so that's they're going to make that happen. And they feel like they're contributing, right? I mean, you want to go to work, you want to feel like you're contributing to something. And that's why that's so important.
Right.
So Jeff, I have a question.
All right, then just,
so, you know, I'm sorry, Don, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if anybody has a question, just a reminder to *6 yourself, because you may be muted, and you might be asking a question and thinking it's being ignored. It's just you might be muted.
Thank you, Don. So Jeff, you know, you mentioned, you talk a lot about the importance of, you know, really getting to your authentic self, and that's definitely my heart's desire is to, you know, to be authentic, to be my true self, to be able to, you know, operate with integrity and all of that. So do you have anything, you know, any ideas on how somebody, if they're not sure if they're there or how to continue to dig deep and, you know, uncover the layers of the onion to really get down to their core self, their authentic self? Do you have any insights on that?
Well, I do, because, you know, personally, I had to go through that as well. And a lot of times, we have to actually do it with companies. There's companies that, you know, don't necessarily know their vision of what they want to do. And then, you know, most people really don't know their desire. You know, most of the people that you have at your organization do because they've, you know, started their own business. But I think it's all about, you know, getting quiet and quieting the noise. And when we do our Advent 5 seminars, you know, we spend probably a day and a half just on trying to figure out what it is, and we take them through processes, and, you know, they have to figure out exactly what it is that they really want with their life. And that's hard to do, and especially if you got, you know, three kids and working two jobs. I mean, and you got a family to pay attention to and soccer and all those kind of things. But you just have to take the time to do it, because the the really cool part about it is if you do that, you'll actually find that desire. And like I said on Tuesday, the biggest thing about finding that desire is that you realize whatever that is, it's probably not about you, which is a paradigm shift, really. Or you know, you think about it, if why would I have a desire to do something to help someone else and not me? But you'll find, especially if you're in the business world, you'll find that's very important because you know you're providing a service to help someone. I don't know if I answered your question or not.
No, you did. I appreciate that. And I'm thinking about the process that's involved in that is really quite simple in terms of just being still and listening to, you know, because we already know. Just like the picture that comes to me is a lot of times when we're sick, we know what we need inside. There's a way in which we have that knowingness, but we need to be still and listen.
Right. You know, another thing about that I think is real important is, knowing that you have this desire, and, you know, it could be like, you know, I want to be a fireman or something, I've had it all my life, and, you know, you finally figure it out. But you also find that you'll have a talent. So you'll find out that you have this desire, and then if you really look at your talents, which is that self-assessment that I just mentioned today, if you look at all those things like your interests and your personality and your skills and asking other people that, or you hear other people say, hey, you're really good at that, you know, you take that and then you say, and this is just a verification that it will always line up with your authentic self, your true desire, because that's how you were made. You weren't given these dreams and visions and desires for no reason. You were given them to them so you're supposed to live them out. So, you know, a gift, if you look at it as a gift, and I think most people's desires are a gift, and when they find them, it really is a gift, and it's really awesome to see that happen. But now your gift needs developing, right? So you got this gift, you need to start developing, and that's where some of these things that I mentioned, you know, on Tuesday and today, that will help get you there. And sometimes, just to be clear, sometimes you'll go through these process steps, like the Advent 5 process steps, and we've had this happen when we do these, I hate to call them seminars because it sounds so corporate, but when we do the offsite where you do a 5-day retreat thing and you go through these 5 steps, sometimes you get down to, you know, down to water, which is, you know, the wind. If you get down to the wind, which is all about adversity, you start saying, man, I'm running up against these things. I really don't like dealing with this kind of stuff. Well, maybe we didn't really have your desire right. So we go back and we spend more time trying to figure out desire. That's what's really nice about those process steps, and what's really nice about a process. Because in a process step, say you have 5 process steps in there, you know, number one has something that starts it, and also it has an output. And that output out of number one should be the input to number two, and vice versa, all the way down the line. So as you go through those, like I said, off-site, as we went through those Advent 5 process steps, if it didn't really look back, we'd have to go back and redefine it.
Okay. Yep,
so, you know, clarity.
I
was going to say just clarity, you know, and definition, and then that's how you get sustainment, by clarity and definition.
Sounds like it would take a lot of time, like days and days.
No, to find your desire?
Yeah, to dig down in your core and find what your true desire is. And
well, that you know, and that's really why these processes were invented, really, for the corporate world, because the vision is really the same thing. It's, if you think of a business, it's got a vision and we got a desire. It's kind of the same thing. So that was why we created these process steps, to get the vision, to get the clarity, and to really define it so we could get sustainment out of it. You know, some people, it happens. We did one, matter of fact, it was the first off-site that we did with the retreat, and it was like the third day into it, and someone jumped up and knew exactly what they wanted to do. And, you know, it was incredible. And then there's sometimes it takes longer. It really all depends on how easily you can quiet the noise that's going on around you. I mean, if you really look at all the information, all the stuff that's going on around us, it's really difficult sometimes to get quiet. Some of our people actually sit in a closet. They close the closet door and just say, hey, I'm in here, don't bother me for the next hour or so. You know, and you just got to force yourself to be quiet, which means, you know, not only do you got to quiet the noise outside of you, but you got to quiet the noise in your head, too.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm not a psychologist or one of those kind of people, but you know, I can certainly give you processes that might help you, you know, find that path. And some, and to your point, sometimes it takes days. Sometimes it may take a year. You know, if you don't mind, I'll share this thing about the book. The book actually started out as a business book, and it was twice as big as it is now. And then I had a moment as I was writing the book, you know, an aha moment or a God moment, if you will, and said, the book's got to change. It's going to be a book about self-discovery. And it went from a book about a business book to a book about self-discovery to now we're building a retreat so we can take people through these five-step processes. So, you know, that wasn't really my vision for when I wrote the book. But, you know, my ultimate desire was to help people. So, you know, some of the circumstances may change, and you got to be careful to discern which is which. But my overall fundamental purpose of what reason of writing the book was to help change lives.
Thank you for listening to that small voice.
This is Gail.
Hi, Gail.
Can you hear me? Hi, yep. Jeff. I just love that story in your book. I just really resonated with that. I just loved it. But and I'm halfway through your book. And
thank you.
You're welcome. Your righteous core, is that that same, or your righteous cause, is that the same thing as a mission statement, or you know, or is that just you found your passion and you know you want to proceed with your passion? Is it the same thing as a mission statement?
Well, you know, being from the corporate world, we did the vision mission thing, you know, back in the 80s, I guess it was. We did that a lot, and it never really resonated with me. So I think of a righteous cause this way, and I'll give you a business version, and I'll give you a personal version, if that would be okay. It might help. So, you know, a righteous cause in a business means that my business is aligned with the vision. It's got processes in place, and everything's tracking along, and we're measuring, and we're constantly retuning and refiguring, and you know the end product, what we're delivering to the customer, is the best quality product that we can provide. To me, that's business is living in a righteous cause. That was the cause. And the example I gave about the book, my righteous cause isn't selling books and selling skill shops or selling retreats. That really is not my mission, right? My righteous cause is to get this message and to help people find out who they really are so they can live a fulfilled life. So that would be my righteous cause.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And I just love it. I do.
Okay. I do too, actually. You know, Zig said this all the time when I travel with him. He said, you know, if you help enough people get what they want, you'll get what you want. And I thought the man was crazy. I really did. I thought, what a thing to say. But, you know, he had so much wisdom, you know, and now I'm finally getting it. Which is, if you don't mind, I'd like to bring this up, too. I noticed in the blurb you put on Facebook, you know, I get an email with it on there, and it said something about, you know, Jeff sharing his wisdom. And I'm thinking, well, I didn't really think about it as wisdom. But this is a great example. So Zig always said, help enough people get what they want, and you'll get what you want. That was wisdom. My problem was No, that was really knowledge, right? That was knowledge that was given to me, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. He was giving me knowledge, but I didn't know how to apply it. And now that mm-hmm. I've figured out how to apply it, then it becomes wisdom. So wisdom doesn't mean that I'm smarter than anybody else, or, you know, if you're smarter than anybody else. It's really how do you apply the knowledge you have, which, by the way, is so critical today, because look at the information that we have thrown at us. I mean, you can get it from everywhere, and we get it from everywhere. The real wisdom comes from, with that knowledge, what are you doing and applying it? And if you apply it, that wisdom, if you apply that knowledge to aligning yourself with your vision and assessing yourself about where you're at and where you're going, you know, that's the wisdom. That's how you apply the wisdom.
Yeah, sometimes that knowledge can be overwhelming.
Yeah, it is, and it's so overwhelming that I'll give you an example. I'm, you know, writing another book, and I get inspired like at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I've been handwriting this on like a copy paper, right? Just writing it up, writing it down. And I'm stacked of this stuff. And I'm just like, this is so much knowledge, right? I don't know what to do with it all. I'm overwhelmed with it, which is a good point that I talked about on Tuesday, about sometimes you have a talent, but you need someone to help you. Someone's going to have to help me go through and sort this and make some sense out of it. And that's okay.
All right, Jeff, we'll have to talk after the call.
Okay, right. Well, you know the paper that your copy comes in, those cardboard boxes? It's full.
Yep.
It's full of that stuff.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the conversation.
Oh, sure.
So, Jeff, we've heard a lot about your book, and I want to just kind of connect the dots for those who were not at our meeting on Tuesday. So Jeff's book, Discover the Unseen in Business, Life, and Yourself, you can get the book on Amazon, and Jeff's name on the book, I guess as an author, is T.J. Wagner, so you can find it. I want to just add, I do happen to think you're wise, so... Sorry, but that's my sense of you. I appreciate your wisdom and I value wisdom a lot. So in your book, on the back of your book, there's a testimonial by Bill Perkins. He's a best-selling author, and
yes.
I just want to share that with those who were not at the event and want to get the book themselves. But I really loved what he said. He said this book is the best I've ever. This book is the best I've ever read on finding your dream and effectively pursuing it. The writing is clear, compelling, and practical. This book will change your life. And I just, I agree. I'm on my fourth reading and really appreciate the analogies that you create with the elements. And you did spend time with our group, during the 20 minutes explaining the different five elements, and you mentioned a few of them in this call, but... thank you so much for that. It's just a real contribution, I believe, to personal development.
Oh, thank you. Bill was saying that this book will change your life. Actually, writing the book changed my life. I haven't been the same from that parking lot and that Mexican food restaurant in Seattle. I haven't been the same since that day.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's all good stuff, right?
Yeah, and it's Seattle. That was the, So that, Seattle is a contribution, right?
That's right.
We could stake our claim in that book. It's a Seattle experience.
Well, if you want to know the story, how that all happened, I was writing the book, and my publisher, Brian, which was at the event on Tuesday, I wasn't meeting the commitments of, the deadlines and all those kind of things. And I live in Texas. I'm outside all the time, playing and stuff. And he said, I tell you what, he goes, why don't you just move up here in Seattle? It rains all the time. You'll be inside and you'll finish the book. And he was right. It worked perfectly.
Wow.
Not as many distractions, right?
There's no distractions when you're inside.
That's right. That's awesome. Well, should we transition? Is there a last call for questions for Jeff? Anybody else have any questions about what he's shared, his book, things that were mentioned on Tuesday, or anything that he, thank you so much for everything.
I have a quick question. So, Jeff, sure. You can get your book on Amazon, Discover the Unseen, and then the spelling of your last name?
Oh, by the way, you can get them through Barnes & Noble and every outlet you can think of. It's in the indie books, too, and all that stuff, too, if those things are easier for you. But my last name is Wagoner. And actually, our website, think about it, it's real easy. It's T.J. Wagner, WAGONER.com. And there's links on that website. I believe, I don't get on there much, but I'm pretty sure they put links to all, where you can link to those, where you can buy the book.
Thanks.
Thanks, John. That was a great question.
Yeah, and if you come to the workshop, I'm sure we'll have something there that will help. But, Cindy, you said something that was really helpful, and I mentioned that I had a client in Texas, a utility company in Texas, and we're going to start, we're going to do some skill shops like we're doing with your guys. And you had mentioned that, it'd be good if you could read this book before you come to the skill shop. And I've told that to the company in Texas, so they're buying a bunch of books so they people can read them. And it's not that I'm trying to sell a book, please. I'm not. It just gives you some background and some information that will help to the point about the lady that was saying that, it might take days and days and days to figure these things out, But if you come, read that and maybe come to the workshop, maybe it'll go a little faster for you. And, you know, that was the whole reason why we did the processes anyway, just so you don't have to go through the struggles that I went through and the struggles I see other people go through that I coach to help you get there quicker. But, you know, we're all different, right? So.
Right. We're all different learners, but, you know, it's nice to have that foundation when you walk in so that when you're mentioning the different processes and talking about the different elements, people have an awareness of that already, so then they can be prepared and get more out of the skill shop opportunity.
Yeah, that was great advice. So thank you for that, Cindy.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, we've got 400 customer service reps that are going to read that book before they come to the class and or the skill shop. It's going to make such a big difference.
Absolutely. It's like a pre-workshop, frankly, you know, to be able to have that exposure, have time to just let some of the, you know, the concepts that you share just kind of percolate and have opportunity to be able to ask those questions. So it's exciting. And again, I know your heart isn't to sell the books, but the books are there because there's so much that you've learned over the years, and we get the benefit of that.
Thank you.
So why don't we, I'll just pause. Do we have one last question? Anything that anybody want to ask of Jeff before we wrap this call up? All right. So Jeff, let's talk about the skill shop that I'm so honored that you're going to be offering for Exceptional Connections. It's scheduled on Tuesday, May 23rd. And we did a pre-registration at our Tuesday event, and we had 20 registrations.
Wow, that's great.
Excited about that, yep. And Jeff's publisher, Brian Heathman, and Don were on hand to help out, and Brian generously gave everybody who registered on the spot a book. So that really has already set everything in motion. It reminds me of when you're going to go on a trip, and you buy your airline ticket. As soon as you buy your airline ticket, it's for real. And you really start planning, you know, sometimes I even get my suitcase out early and throw stuff in as I think about them, get excited, you know, just all of that anticipation. So that's what I really feel like happens when you sign up for an event, and then especially when you have the book, is people are already in that mindset and process. So I'm excited that we don't have to wait till May 23rd to benefit from your skill shop. We're already on that journey.
Okay. Great.
Isn't that fun? So tell us a little bit about what, you know, your topic of the skill shop. It's a 2-hour skill shop. And the topic is the Advent 5 process, the universal process to fulfillment. So can you take a few minutes to tell us a little bit about, you know, what we're going to be doing during the 2 hours? And what to look forward to.
Sure. Well, you know, really what it will be a condensed version of the 5-day retreat that we do, obviously. But what I'd like to do is go through in more detail what we went through on Tuesday, which are the Advent 5 elements, and then tie them also together with the ones that we spoke about today, which is really about, you know, getting clarity, again, getting clarity and defining and then sustaining what we're trying to accomplish. And, you know, we'll share there's a lot of tools that we'll share that it's real important for me that the stuff that I speak about, that we transfer that knowledge to you the attendees or you the company or whoever, right? It's not something that I want to keep. I just want to transfer that. So we'll teach you how to use those tools in your own life. And there's one that comes to mind, and it's called SPACE, and that's an acronym. So this is something that I use anytime I really do anything, and it really came from the corporate world and going to meetings. But, you know, the S stands for set your intention. What's my – they could really choose a meeting, for an example. So what – you know, what's my intention for the meeting? You write this out, right? And the P is okay, so that's my intention. So the P stands for purpose. So what's the purpose of that intention? And then A stands for the agenda, and the agenda is, you know, the steps, your process. What are you going to go through to make that happen? To get to fulfill that intention and to follow the purpose, what are the things I'm going to have to do, you know, from an agenda side? And then, the C is how am I going to communicate? How am I not only communicating to the outside world, right, but probably the most important is how am I communicating to myself about that? You know, it's about the negative chatter that we have going on in our head, or people saying things that, you know, we listen to that aren't necessarily true, those kind of things. So it's important to think about how I'm going to communicate that intention and that purpose that we're going through. And then the E is just the expectation. What do I expect? You know, what after I do all this stuff, what is my expectation? What I always like to say is, what am I going to walk away with? And that's just an example of some of the tools that we'll show you that help. And you can see how that could help in a personal life, too. I'll give you a funny story. You go have time to tell a funny story?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, living in Seattle, I go to the University District Farmer's Market. Every Saturday I would go there. I love to go to Farmer's Market, so I would go to this Farmer's Market every Saturday. And there was this booth that sold kombucha, which is a Chinese drink. It's really what it is. It's fermented tea, and they've been drinking it for like 3,000 years. And it was really nice to find it. And I would go to that booth, you know, every Saturday. So after a while, I got to know the lady behind it. And we were talking, and I'd mentioned that I was a vegan. And she said, oh, we need to try out some of these restaurants. There's some really good vegan restaurants around here and stuff. So one of the times I went back, and I called her because she gave me her phone number. I actually called her and said, hey, would you like to go to the XYZ restaurant with me? And she goes, well, sure, I wouldn't mind, but what's your intention? And I thought, that would have been a perfect example. I should have used the space, right? I should have used it to figure out what my intention was. But just to let everybody know, my intention was just to have a meal with a fellow vegan. What's no other intention?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So you can use this is the beauty about all these steps, because I can stand in front of an audience of 3,000 people and talk about these things. And because I believe in them, mainly because I used them in the business world for 20-some-odd years, and I've used them in my personal life as well. And I think that's the kind of stuff that we're going to share in the workshop, those kind of tools that I think help you with your own life. And I guess the important thing about the skill shop isn't, here, do these 7 steps and be like me. It has nothing to do with that. It's here. Let's look at these processes that will help you define who you are from your authentic self and help you live a life of fulfillment.
Right. And those steps, you know, the SPACE acronym that you created, really it's awareness, right? It's walking in there with your eyes open. And instead, sometimes we get blindsided when we do things and we don't know what our intention is. We haven't thought that through, whether it's personally or even in setting up a meeting to meet with people. So I love that. It's a great reminder.
It's been very helpful. You know, I used to tell the guys that work for me, I'd say, you know, if you don't have a space around, I'm not going to the meeting. Because, you know, those of you who've been in the corporate world, you know, you could be in a meeting for like 4 hours and walk out of there and say, I don't know what just happened, and, you know, can I get that 4 hours of my life back?
Right. Exactly. It's honoring yourself and others.
Sure. So and it works the same for you. You know, if you have an intention to start your day and go out and do something, and you spend that entire, you know, 14 hours doing something that really wasn't aligned with your desire, wasn't aligned with your values and your purpose and all that stuff, I mean, essentially it was a waste of 14 hours. But the good news is you can always turn waste into something positive. So, and we'll talk about that too in the skill shop.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait. I'm excited. And again, I feel like we've already started that journey just in the seeding the event. And so we're going to be bold here and audacious, and we're going to proclaim that we're going to have 300 people at your skill shop.
Yay! That would be wonderful.
Yes. And so we have our first 20, not including the speaker and people that are going to be there to support, like Don and myself. And so we're just asking that people get the word out and bring people, now that you've heard from Jeff and a little bit about what we're going to be what is going to be covered that day, you know, please help us get the word out. So the special day of and bonus call rate of $67, that includes lunch, and for those who registered at the event included a book as well, that actually ends today, Friday the 17th at 9 p.m. And so let me give the Eventbrite link for that, or anybody can contact me directly and I'll help them with the registration. So you'll put the URL HTTPS in there, but then it's ECN-educational-series may.eventbrite.com. And so don't despair if you're listening to this recording after this offer expires, as the early bird rate of $77 will be available. And, you know, I really, right now we're scheduled to have this event, the Mazatlan, but as I mentioned, we can't fit 300 people in that room. So we'll be looking for another facility for that. And you can always contact me, Cindy Dady, at cindy@cindyodady.com if you have any questions about registration or getting this link back to share with others. So any closing remarks that you want to make, Jeff, or any comments you want to make, Don?
Just one thing. I want to thank everyone that called in and that are listening to the recording. I appreciate it. You know, it helps me fulfill my righteous cause if I can use the stuff and the knowledge and the wisdom that I have, obviously, to share to make a difference in your life. That's great. And I hope to see you, Gail, at the Skill Shop in May 23rd.
Oh, boy.
In Virginia.
I know she does.
I hope I can.
If you start driving now, you can make it.
There you go. Yeah.
I'd love to.
And maybe we could do a live stream or something like that. Let's be thinking about how to make that happen.
That would be
awesome. That would be awesome. Good thought, Dawn.
Yes. Make that happen, Dawn. Thank you.
All right. Great. No pressure.
So we've got 1 minute to go here. So I'm going to go ahead and just close this call. And in the spirit of St. Patrick's Day, just thinking about this today, it's a great day when everyone gets to be Irish, right?
Yeah, right.
So here's a little, my thoughts and my hopes for everybody on this call and on the recording. So in the spirit of St. Patrick's Day, may your troubles be less, your blessings be more, and nothing but happiness come through your door. Thank you for being part of our Exceptional Connections bonus call today. And as Jeff mentioned, even things that don't go well, they can be used for the good and teach us valuable lessons. But again, in the spirit of St. Patrick's Day, I'm wishing you nothing but happiness and blessings and joy. And thank you for spending your time with us this afternoon. I will put the recording together and post it on the Facebook. So let's all say goodbye to Jeff.
Bye, Jeff.
Bye, Jeff.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.